Parashas Korach, Bruchim Aboim, to everybody, welcome. We would like to look at the end of the story of Korach, the whole showdown with Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. And as we know, the story ends with all of the 12 Shvatim being instructed to ask their Nasi to place his mate, to place his staff in the Kodesh Kachim, or in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, including that of Aaron HaKohen, and behold, they saw, Vehine Porach Mate Aaron, and they saw that the stick of Aaron HaKohen was the one that flourished, the one that sprouted forth, Shkedim, Vayotze Moshe Es Kol HaMatos, and Moshe Rabbeinu took out all of the matos, all of the sticks that have been placed there, Melifnei Hashem, El Kol B'nei Yisrael, Vayiru. And everybody had clearly seen now what had happened. There was no room for debate or any doubt any longer. Everybody had seen that 11 out of 12 sticks had remained unmoved and unchanged. And yet the stick of Aaron HaKohen had produced this tremendous miracle. Vayikhu Ish Matehu. And everybody took their own staff. And we'd like to look, Be'ezus Hashem, this evening for a few moments at those three words. Vayikhu ish matehu. And each one of the Nasiim took their mate. Now, what did they do with their mate? Aaron HaKohen's mate, the Rambam tells us, was placed in the Kodesh Kodshim. So perhaps we can understand that. That is going to be a zecher forevermore of the tremendous miracle. If anybody would ever come in the course of generations to perhaps once again doubt the authenticity of Aaron HaKohen's appointment, they would always be able to show him this matter. So I understand that the matter of Aaron, the miraculous staff of Aaron, should be kept. But what was everybody else's matter for? Vayikhu ish matehu, it says quite clearly that everybody, all of the 12 Nasiim, they all took their mate. What did they do with them? Presumably they took them home. What was there to do with this mate? So we'd like to suggest two ideas. One of them we have mentioned in the past. And we will introduce this with a story that's told to us in the Gemara in Tanis, Daf Chof Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar was terribly poor. Not only that, he was also feeling very weak. He was very tired. And they saw, the Rabbanon saw that he was crying. They asked him, why are you crying? And he said, I'll tell you. He said, I was zeicher, I had a gilui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvoidoi u'b'atzmoi. And I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Rabbi Elazar talking, I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how long am I going to suffer for? I have such a difficult life. I'm so poor. I'm in pain. I'm tired. How long am I going to have this difficult life for? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, and this is Rabbi Elazar reporting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Rabbi Elazar, Nicha Lecha, is this what you want? The Afche La'alma, do you want me to turn around the whole world? Meiresha? Do you want me to bring all the world back to its beginning? The Misyaladet B'Shaita the Mazoni, that you should be born perhaps at a different age and a different mazel. So Rabbi Elazar responds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that the choice? That you might in theory turn the world back, all the way back to day one, rewind the tape, play again, and Rabbi Elazar will be born at a different age, and a different time, and a different mazel, and then he wouldn't be so poor after all. And after a whole discussion, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on second thoughts, I'd rather not. I'd rather stay exactly where I am and not find myself a different person, a different age, and a different muzzle. The key words in that Gemara is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that you have in theory a possibility of indeed having money and having food, but the way to do it, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is, in his words, the afcha la'alma mereisha, and I'm going to have to turn the whole world, eradicate all of history, and begin all over again. And the Ramchal explains a terrific yesod, that all of humanity, right back from day one, sheshes yimei breishis, until the end of time, everybody has their time, and everybody has their place, and everybody has their mazel, and everybody has their tafkid. And it's an enormous jigsaw puzzle where everybody is one tiny piece in a colossal sized puzzle. The only way to change your piece in the puzzle is to change the whole picture. And that's what it means. You're going to have to start all over again. I'm going to have to rewind the tape and replay the course of history. Because otherwise, there's no way that your mazel can change. There's no way that your tafkid can change. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it determined for you that you're supposed to be poor, then apparently your tafkid is to be an Eved Hashem amidst poverty. And if you want that to change, that's not just a change in tafkid, that's a change in the entire world history. That's the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to Rebbe Lozor. Your tafkid, with your koichos, with your situation. I think it's famous that the great Talmud, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter of Naftali Amsterdam, once said to his illustrious Rebbe, if only I had the brains of the Shagas Aryeh, if only I had the great heart of the Yisoid B'Sheirish HaAvoidah, if only I had the midos of the Rebbe Rabbi Yisrael, then maybe something would come from me. I'd be a true Eved Hashem. Upon which Rabbi Yisrael said, no, Rabbi Naftali, with your brains and your heart and your midos. That's your tafkid. Your tafkid is not to be staring over your shoulder and look at somebody else's fate and somebody else's tafkid. Because for that, the whole world history has to change. Klal Yisrael, as told to Avraham Avinu in the Bris Bein Absorim, are compared to kechoichvei hashomayim v'kechoil asher al tzfas hayom. There is a double moshel over here. Klal Yisrael are compared both to the stars in the heaven and the sand on the beach. Now clearly the simple understanding in this moshel is that Klal Yisrael will be numerous. Just like there are millions of stars and millions of granules of sand, so too there will be that number of Klal Yisrael. But why two Mesholim? Why do we need to be compared both to stars and also to sand? And the answer is because there is a fundamental difference between sand and stars. Whilst indeed they are both numerous, but the koyach of each grain of sand is to all intents and purposes zero. It's only when it teams up with other granules of sand, then indeed it's the strongest entity. Even water cannot enter where there is going to be sand. That's the edge of the sea, the beach. But each granule on its own cannot perform its tafkid. However, when it comes to a star, each star is a colossal item and has its own tafkid, as the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, look at the stars, hamoitzi b'mispar tzva'om and l'kulam b'shem yikra. Every star has its name, l'kulam b'shem yikra. We know that the name of something represents its mahus, its tafkid. And we say this pasuk in davening, in Tehillim, haroyfe l'shvurei lev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the healer of the brokenhearted. Umechabeish la'atzvoisom, and he bandages the depressed ones. Moine misper la'koychovim l'chulom sheimais yikra. Some people are walking around shvurei leiv, broken-hearted. Some people are walking around ba'atzvus, depressed. Who am I? What am I? What's my tafkid? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you know how I heal you? You remember the stars because you're compared to the stars. Everyone has its own name. L'chulam Shemois Yikra. Every star has a different name, has a different mahus and a different purpose and a different tafkid. You two are exactly the same. Don't wish upon yourself to switch tafkid, because that's not what you've been brought to Olam Hazeh for. Korach apparently did not understand this lesson. Korach was a Levi, but that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. If you look at the pasuk, how did Moshe Rabbeinu respond to Korach by saying to him, Boiker v'yoida? Why wait till the morning? So Rashi says, Gvulois cholak HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo'olamai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created in his world gvulois, clear demarcation lines. Can you possibly turn morning into night, night into day? Of course not. The end of the day is the night. The end of the night is the day, and never the twain shall meet. Each one has its tafkid. So too, says Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you trying to switch yoim to laila, laila to yoim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu so too has demarcations for everybody's tafkid. Your tafkid is to be a Levi, not to be a Kohen. Aaron's is to be a Kohen and not a Levi. Why are you trying to switch these gevulos? It always occurs to me at this time of year, we know that when Korach was swallowed up alive by the Pi Ha'aretz, the Mishnah tells us that the Pi Ha'aretz was created when? The Mishnah Novice, it was created Bein HaShmoshes. Bein HaShmoshes is indeed the one time of day where those boundaries are blurred. Bein HaShmoshes is Sofik Yoim, Sofik Laila, Nishtahin or Nishtaher. The Oynash of Korach was created in Bein HaShmoshes because that's the whole limit to Korach. Korach, you're a Bein HaShmoshes Yid. You're trying to be mevalbal those gevulos. Understand that your tafkid is to be either day or night, but not both. You're a Bein HaShmoshes Yid. You're trying to live a life in which those gevulos are not clearly delineated. You're a Bein HaShmoshes Yid. I once heard, many years ago, somebody said very beautifully, there was one person whom we know who was not sucked up into all of this. The wife of Oyin ben Peles saved him. Chochmas noshim bonso beiso. How so? So Chazal tell us that Oyin ben Peles was in his oihel, and Korach and his followers knocked on the door and they wanted to drag him out to join forces, and meanwhile his wife sat outside of the oihel with her hair uncovered, as if to say she was combing her hair, and of course they saw that and said, oh, I'm sorry, we cannot enter. If Chazal teach us that she uncovered her hair, there must be significance in the fact that her hair was exposed. So I once heard a beautiful pshat. If you look at every hair, somebody has a head of hair, looks like there's hundreds of thousands of hair, but if you trace each hair back to its roots, you see each one has its own mokim. No two hairs come out of the same root. They have a joint tafkid, like the sand, the kechol hayom. Each hair indeed is a very weak entity, and altogether it forms a head of hair, but each one has its own root. And that's what Oyin ben Peles' wife was teaching them. Don't bother my husband. Every one of us has its own root, has our own tafkid. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Rabbi Elazar, the only way to change it would be to change the course of the entire history. Therefore, in this final showdown, when the matos were placed in the Mishkan, and they saw that the matah of Aaron had flourished and theirs hadn't, the crucial finish to that story was, as the Torah says, Vayikhu ish matehu. And each person took his stick, and we asked, what did he do with it? What would that be a reminder of? It would be a reminder by looking at his stick, which remained there firmly in his home, that mine did not flourish. My tafkid is not to be Aaron HaKoyin. In fact, Aaron HaKoyin's matter was placed in the Kodesh Kodshim. It was not placed in a public museum for everybody to see, because it was a reminder to Aaron what Aaron's tafkid is. Never mind what somebody else's tafkid is. All of the Nasim had to take home their matter to be a constant reminder that your job is not to be an Aaron HaKoyin. So it's not that nothing happened to your stick. Rather, something happened to Aaron HaKoyin's and yours is different. All of the Nasim took their matter home as a reminder that my job is not to be Aaron HaKoyin. I have my tafkid. As Rabbi Yisrael said, with my moyach, with my leib, with my midos. But if we're looking constantly over our shoulder at somebody else's tafkid, if only I could be somebody else, then we're not learning the story of Korach. The Sfas Emes incredibly writes a phenomenal line, a very deep, profound line, Kedarko BaKodesh. Korach wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. What a shame, says the Sfas Emes. If he only would have remained at his tafkid, he could have become the Levi Gadol. He could have become the superlative, the supreme Levi. Instead of looking over his shoulder and becoming the Kohen Gadol, he could have become the Levi Gadol. Says the Sfas Emes, the most remarkable line, Kol Adam Nivra. Every single person is created L'Sakein Dovor Meyuchot. His tafkid is unique, She'ein Acher Yochel L'Takein. Nobody else can play this role. B'chol Zman Uzman. Over the course of 6,000 years of history, there's only one person who can play your role, and that's you. That's the lesson of this story. You know, I once heard, in a hospital waiting room, there were a number of people waiting, mothers with children, and as is the way in hospitals, things were dragging along, taking time, and eventually the doctor comes out of the clinic, out of his surgery, and one of the mothers stands up and says, you know, I'm sitting here with my son, do you know, I waited 18 years for this child. And the doctor is so moved and apologetic. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this is such a special case. Please. And he ushered them straight in, ahead of the queue. And when the mother came out with a little boy, somebody says, excuse me, if you don't mind me asking, I happen to know your family. What do you mean you waited 18 years? You have 11 children older than this child. And the mother said, it's true. But for this child, I waited 18 years. This is a unique child. The great Goyen and Talmud Chochem in Antwerp, Reb Chaim Kreisitz, Boki, B'chol HaTorah Kula Baal Peh. As is well known, I'm not sure if this is still the case, but it certainly used to be in Antwerp, many people, many Yidden were in the diamond trade. And somebody once came to Reb Chaim and he said, I have a terrible problem. I have my diamond store, and I see my friend across the road, and he has a diamond store as well, and I cannot understand. He's earning twice as much as I am. I'm earning half the profits that he's earning. I can't understand. So Reb Chaim said to him, well, maybe his store is double the size of yours. He says, I also thought of that. In fact, I went to his store one day when he wasn't looking. I took a tape measure. I measured. the width, the breadth, the length, and the height, and I came to the conclusion his store is basically the same size as mine. So Reb Chaim said, well, perhaps his diamonds are twice as much quality as yours. So he said, I thought of that as well. So I went back to the store and I examined every single diamond and I saw, no, it's all the same as what I've got. So Reb Chaim says, well, maybe he's got twice as many diamonds in his store as you have. He says, I thought of that as well. And I went back a third time and I opened every drawer and every cupboard and I looked at every window of his. And no, we've got the same amount of diamonds. And Reb Chaim says, oh, I've worked it out. I see why you're earning only half of what he's earning. He is busy managing one store. You are apparently busy managing two. You seem to spend half your time in your store and just as much time in somebody else's store. If you'd only manage your own store, maybe you'd earn as much as he does. That's the limud of Korach, to manage our own store, to look after our own tafkid, not to look over our shoulder at somebody else's tafkid and think, if only. Let me read to you some incredible words of Rabbeinu Yonos and Eberschitz in the Yaris Dvash. Al yechakeim loyma. Don't try and be smart to say, if I would only have the lave in order to be a masmid batoira, if I would only have the lave to do toiv, etc., etc. No. The yismach bechelkoi, be happy with your chelek asher nosan loy Hashem. Do you know why? Because the li sofik, without any doubt, this is for his best, and this is for him to produce his tafkid and his shleimus. It's all been worked out, and you take your place with pride and your piece in the puzzle in the enormous picture that's going to be produced, your role no less or more important than anybody else's. Korach didn't understand that. He was a Ben Ashmoshes Yid, a bit Yoim, a bit Laila. All of the Nasiim took home their matter. They took home their matter to be an eternal reminder that my tafkid is not to be a Kohen Gadol. My tafkid is to play my role. Maybe my tafkid is even to be a Levi Gadol, but certainly not to be a Kohen Gadol. I saw, and with this we'll finish, an alternative explanation. What was it? What was the function? What was the need? What was the purpose in all of the Nasiim taking home their plain matzis? I understand Aaron HaKohen took his, a reminder. Look at the tremendous miracle. But what was the purpose? Each of the Nasiim would take home his matzah, and what would he see? A plain stick. What is that a reminder of? So I saw in the writings of the Oznayim L'Torah is Reb Zalman Sirotskin. If any of you have been in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh on Rechov Sirotskin, that road is named after the great Reb Zalman Sirotskin. And he explains so beautifully Kedarkei B'Kodesh. And he says, why would anybody want to be a Levi in the first place? Why would you want to be a Kohen? Why would you want to be a member of Shevet Levi? Let's not forget, Levi is the only tribe in Klal Yisrael who have no Nachala in Eretz Yisrael. Essentially, they have no form of Paranasa whatsoever. They are totally at the whim of all of the rest of Klal Yisrael. And they are relying for their Paranasa on handouts. Why would anybody want to live a life like that? Why would anybody want to forfeit their chelek in Eretz Yisrael and have to live a life of shame, relying on receiving maestros from the rest of Klal Yisrael? Clearly the answer is, because they were so determined to be miskarei vel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have the zechus to be an Eved Hashem, a Meshoreis HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, that for them that was more important and worthwhile living a life of poverty in order to be Zoicha to Kirvas Elohim Li Toiv. It would justify being mevata on my chelak in Eretz Yisrael. That was their tremendous she'ifa and tshuka and determination. That's why they all wanted to become a kohen or a levi. They wanted to be zeicha. They had this tremendous she'ifa for kirvas Elohim. Says the Oznaim L'Torah, the most beautiful interpretation. It transpired, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly showed to them that no, that was not their tafkid. But do you know why they took home their plain stick? Their plain stick forever served as a reminder of that tremendous desire for Kirvas Elohim. That's what the stick served as a reminder. The stick served as a reminder, look at our tremendous she'ifa. We were prepared to give up on our nachla in Eretz Yisrael just to be zeicha to kirvas Elohim. We were not zeicha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'roiv chochmosai determined otherwise. But let us not be disappointed. Let us forever remember va'ani kirvas Elohim li'toiv. That's our pride. That's our godless. Every shevet took home their stick, not disappointedly, but rather they held their heads high. And this forever reminded them of the day they were determined, they were prepared to give up their nachla in Eretz Yisrael just for the sake of kirvas Elohim. This is a tremendous limud. Sometimes we have a tremendous she'ifa, a tremendous bakosha for godless. We don't necessarily get there. We should not be deterred or put off. The very desire for godless is itself extra special. Let's just perhaps finish with a beautiful story that I once saw. This story took place with one of the Gedolei Yisrael, Reb Eizel Chorif. Reb Eizel Chorif was known as a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He had a daughter, and he was determined to find an outstanding chosn for his daughter. He went to the great yeshiva in Volozhin in order to find a chosn. And he announced there in front of all the bachrim, I have a daughter, and I want to get a chosn, top of the range. And he announced there, he said, I have a kasha, a very, very difficult kasha. Kasha in learning. And any bocher who's able to answer this kasha will be zeicha to be my son-in-law. So he presented them with this kushya atzuma, a bomba kasha. And you can imagine all the bocherim opened the gemaras and the sugyas and the shulchan aruch and the rishonim. The race was on. Who would be able to try and crack this? Who would be able to find a teretz to this great kasha and be zeicha to be the son-in-law of Eizel Chorif? And one by one they approached him. I think I have the teretz. And no, he said, he disproved every single one. None of them could come up with the teretz. And after a few days, Reb Eizel Chorif says, well, it seems to be that none of you have managed to crack. None of you have managed to come up with a teretz, so I'm sorry, I have to go back empty-handed. And he left the yeshiva. As he left on his travels, he hears somebody running towards him. And he sees that one of the bochrim of the yeshiva in Volozhin is running after him. And he says, Revisal, Revisal, the teretz. And Revisal stops in his tracks and he says, oh, no, you have a teretz for me? And he says, no, I don't. But I'm determined, I want to know the teretz anyway. After schwitzing on the sugyas for a day or two or three, I should just watch you leave without having the teretz. And Rabbi Eizel said, oh, you can be my son-in-law. Somebody who is so determined to reach the emes, even though ultimately he was disappointed, he was unsuccessful in his quest. He could not find the teretz of the kasha. But nonetheless, the very tshuka, the very desire for hatzlocha, The very desire to see the Emes in Torah is itself, says Rabbi Eisel, so revealing, you are a worthy son-in-law of mine. That's the limit of this parasha in the view of the Oznayim L'Torah, Reb Zalman Sirotsky. Ultimately, the Shvatim were not zeichet to become Levim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined, as we mentioned, that was not their tafkid. But by bringing that matter, by taking that stick home, that would forever serve as a reminder of the day that we revealed our true colors, of how determined we were, what a deep felt tshuka and she'ifa we have for Kirvas Elohim, and that itself is our godless. So we have two mahalchim, therefore, to explain. What was the purpose in all the Shvatim taking home their matos? After all, it was not theirs that had miraculously produced flowers and shkedim. The first mahalach was hogufa, to remind them that that was not their tafkid. Their tafkid was to play a different role, not theirs of Aaron HaKohen. And the second mahalach was in order to remind them kirvas Elohim li toiv, of that deep heartfelt she'ifa for closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the extent they were willing to give up their nachla in Eretz Yisrael, just to be zeicha, to be the Meshorasei Hashem in the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately decided otherwise, but they had no reason to walk home disappointed. To the contrary, they could all go home with their heads held high. Look at this tremendous she'ifa that we had for Godless. I wish everybody a good Shabbos.
According to the Rav's first explanation, I think we can have a question on the society we live in, where it appears to me the only tafkid that, behold, a person should have is to be an avrek in a kollel.
Why? Who decided that?
The society we live in, that is the thing that a boy has to be. But I mean, maybe your son has a kind of different inclinations. Maybe Hashem, like in what the Rav explains, has a different tafkid in the world to fulfill. Maybe to be an accountant, a doctor, who knows?
The Rambam writes, it's the last Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Loi Shevet Levi Bilvad, it's not only Levi, but anybody can dedicate their life to a learning of Torah. Ultimately, indeed, that has to be everybody's she'ifa. It cannot be the she'ifa of a Levi to become a Kohen. That was Kiryas' mistake. But to become an Avreich, a full-time learner, that indeed should be everybody's she'ifa. If indeed it transpires that's not his Koichos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has determined he should not be an Avreich in Kohel, there is absolutely no reason for him to feel a second-class citizen. But yes, we certainly have to bring up our children in an atmosphere that we would love them and they should want to become a full-time learner. David HaMelech said, Shifti beveis Hashem, that's my only request. Acha sho'alti, oisra avakei shifti beveis Hashem. If indeed it turns out that that's not my tafkid, then I will accept it. But certainly everybody has to aspire to that. If you're referring to the fact that those who are not avreichim are considered second-class citizens, you're right, that should not be the case. And indeed, I hope it's not the case.
You have. Yeshikayah.
Okay, all the very best. Be well. Kol tov.